your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll be reading three verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 6 and 8 if you'll join with me on verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning again in verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to open up this good book. Sure is good to be in your house, in this place. I do pray that you bless this morning the speaker, and I pray we'd have listening ears and an open heart, hear exactly what you have for us. And then we'd go away from this place changed, different from the way that we came. Pray you bless the special, prepare our hearts in your name, we pray. Amen.
Always near. much for that good song. Now, fellas, we haven't had monitors since Mike prayed for the offering, and yet we haven't had them through this whole time, so if you can make some kind of an adjustment there, that would be helpful. I want to speak this morning on the subject, loving is more than lip service. Loving is more than lip service. I want you to see verse number 8. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I want to speak on the subject, loving is more than lip service. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for this Sunday morning service. Lord, it's been a blessing to be here, to sing these songs, to fellowship, to enjoy this wonderful answer and gift that You've given to Brother Jake and Jana. Lord, just to be at the offering time, to enjoy the music. But now, Lord, we come to Your Word, and the promise is that Your Word will not return void. May it work in our hearts this morning. Please find some good ground for the truth to fall in and bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name is my prayer made. Amen. Those who are interested in horse racing had been anticipating yesterday's Belmont Stakes. A horse named California Chrome won the Kentucky Derby and then the Preakness, and he was hoping to capture yesterday's race to win that coveted triple crown of horse racing, and I guess his bid fell short. So that means the drought continues for at least another year. I don't know how many years, 26, 28 years it's been since a horse won that triple crown. Now, the crown is used as a symbol of victory, a reward or conquest. And it's used in many different venues to award those who prevail or excel in their particular endeavor. Paul was not ashamed to speak of his interest in crowns that are available for Christians to obtain. He wasn't ashamed to speak of that. Paul mentioned the subject four times. I sound loud to me. Is it loud to you? It is loud. That's what I thought. Okay. Needs to come down. Paul mentioned the subject four times in his epistles, and then James and Peter also chipped in, mentioning it one time each in their particular letter. And you always have those people who make statements like, I'm not doing this for a crown. I'm doing this because I love Jesus. And it's always said so soberly and so sincerely. Now, Paul would have had a hard time with that mentality because he makes it very clear that he lived to obtain a crown. And it was obvious that Paul loved Jesus. So it has to be that you and I can love Jesus and still desire to obtain a crown. You know, the kind of people who make statements like that are the kind of folks who are the same. They say things like, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Now look, folks, no true competitor has that attitude. I did not know that the Joliet Jackhammers had changed their name to Slammers. I didn't know that. In other words, I don't follow that team. I don't wake up every morning and look at the box score from the Joliet Slammers baseball game. But you know, I found myself very interested in seeing the team from Joliet win last night and was cheering, and I wish that I had a horn to blow, amen. But anyway, this concept of no winners and no losers is taking over our society, creating a very passive, numb attitude about excelling. And I told you before about the story where, you know, the kids' sports, no winners, no losers, you know, and this dad and son had been at a game, and they stopped in an eating place afterwards. And a little kid dressed in his ball uniform. And so, you know, the people sitting there friendly, you know. Oh, you play baseball, soccer, whatever it was. Said, who won? And the dad spoke up and said, oh, nobody wins. We don't keep score. And the boy said, we lost 8-1. And so, you know, the boys, they keep score, okay? Now, let me just say, while this thing morphs and changes as I speak, which I wish we would just set it and let it be one thing, for the preaching time, we'll fix it later, okay? But the changing engages my mind to this thing is changing, all right? Let me just say, child of God, I want to encourage you to get interested in the crowns. Crowns are our opportunity to give something back to the Lord Jesus when we see Him. Crowns represent a manner of life that was lived for Christ's sake. Crowns indicate that while on earth, to a measure, to a degree, we denied ourselves and lived for or lived by the power of the Spirit. And so I want to say this morning, get interested in obtaining a crown for Jesus' sake. You don't do it, you don't win a crown for your sake. You win a crown for His sake. And since it's for Him, we might as well be interested in obtaining a crown. There are five crowns that four of them are for everybody. One of them would be for a pastor of a church. You've got the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where it's a matter of self-discipline and overcoming the world and so forth and so on, and your own appetites, your own body and so forth, your own sinful desires. You've got the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, which is the soul winner's crown. You've got the crown of life in James 1:12, which is given to those who are successful in enduring temptation. You've got the crown of glory that is given to pastors who are faithful in their work. And then in this passage, in chapter 4, verse number 8, we have what's called the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Now, the context defines this crown. The context of the scripture here. Paul's execution is soon to happen. God has already shown him that he's about to die. Look at verse number 6, where he said here, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. How did Paul know that? God had showed it to him. So God had told Paul, you're not going to be much longer on the earth, and Paul was aware of that. Look what he says in verse 7. He gave a great testimony. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a testimony. Hey, that's a testimony that every child of God should seek to have. I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. A lot of things I could say about that. I like when he said, I fought a good fight. A lot of Baptists enjoy a fight, whether it's good or bad. Paul said, my fight was a good fight. And he finished his course, and he kept the faith. What a great testimony. And then in verse number 8, he anticipates the crown of righteousness. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He is anticipating this crown. He's looking forward to it. And he says that this crown will be given to, look at it now, all them that love His appearing. All them also that love His appearing. So this crown is available to those who love the certain appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, wow, that's all I have to do is love His appearing and I can earn this crown? That's easy. Not as easy as you might think. Because loving is more than lip service. No wife in this congregation would be happy, pleased, if all your husband did was love you with his mouth. I love you. Didn't want to spend any time with you. Didn't want to go anywhere with you. Didn't want to do anything with you. Had no interest in your interests, had no interest in your well-being. He could say it 100 times a day, but no wife in this room would ever be pleased with love that is only lip service. No husband would be pleased either with love that is only lip service. And that's exactly what we have to understand, friend, about this crown of righteousness. It's more than just lip service. Oh, I'm looking forward to the time when Jesus comes. I love the thought of His appearing. No, loving that is far more than lip service. So my question this morning, how can we love His appearing? How can we love it to the degree that we can obtain this crown? What are some characteristics that prove or indicate that we indeed do look forward to His appearing? It's not just lip service, but it means something to us. Now, I've got several things. I don't know how many I'll get to. We'll take them as we get to them. Number one, if we indeed are anxious to see the Lord Jesus and look forward to His appearing, there's going to be some purifying. There's going to be some purifying. Folks, look at the term here that Paul uses, a crown of righteousness. Now, watch it. Which the Lord, the righteous judge. The righteous judge. Turn over, hold your finger here. Turn over a few pages to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, just a few pages over from where you are right now. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, it's to your right a handful of pages. 1 John chapter 3, and look with me beginning at verse number 1. Look what John wrote. He wrote about the same matter in 1 John chapter 3. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not." Now look at this. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now watch verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Now this is talking about the same thing that Paul was talking about in 2 Timothy 4. The appearing of Jesus Christ. And John said in verse 3, every man who has the blessed hope of knowing that he's going to see Jesus someday, every man who really anticipates it, every person who really looks forward to it, every person, watch it, who really believes that they're going to see Christ, every person who has this hope in him purifieth himself even as Jesus is pure. He keeps himself clean. He keeps his heart clean. He keeps his mind pure. He keeps his life clean and pure. Look at the last two verses of chapter 2. Look at verse number 28. "And now, little children, abide in him," him, Jesus, "that when he shall appear," Jesus, "we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Folks, are you kind of getting here adrift from all of these verses? That if you and I truly anticipate the Lord Jesus is coming and we're hoping to obtain the crown of righteousness, do you kind of get the idea here that we're going to have to be concerned about righteousness? We're going to have to be concerned about holiness? We're going to have to be concerned about cleanliness as a child of God? You see, it's more than just lip service. It's more than just a mouth that says, "I can't wait till Jesus comes." It's a life that says, "I can't wait till Jesus comes." A life that says, "I anticipate him coming." A life that says, "I know I'm going to see him and I want to obtain that crown of righteousness." The life that says, "I can't wait till Jesus comes," is the life that has been purified and cleaned up. Let me give you a Bible verse without turning to it today. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." I'm talking about, the Bible's talking about completing or maturing holiness in my life, in your life, as a child of God. Cleanse yourselves. It's interesting that two or three times, cleanseth himself. Cleanse yourselves. Folks, it's not up to God to keep us clean. It's up to you and it's up to me to keep ourselves clean. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think far too often we've gotten in the habit of forgetting to ask God to cleanse us and wash us and confess our sins. And I want to tell you something. The life that anticipates the coming of Jesus Christ is more than just lip service. It's a life that says, "He could come today and I don't want to be caught ashamed at his appearing. I'll lose my crown. I'll lose my crown." You know, I don't try to do this too often, but once in a while, if I'm in the neighborhood, or sometimes I go to see people who visit the church and don't call ahead. Once in a while, if in the neighborhood of people who go to church here, I'll pop in, knock on the door, you know, and without fail, if it's a house where there's little children and it's in the middle of the day or the end of the day, there's clothes and there's toys and there's books and, you know, people live in the house. Now, if you live in one of these places that stays immaculate, God bless you. Amen. I've got a clean woman for a wife. She is clean. She's clean inwardly and she's clean outwardly. But with six children, you don't keep an immaculate house. You keep a clean house, but there's always something to pick up. And I'm telling you, you know, sometimes I'll stop and knock on the door, and because of the position I serve in as pastor, it's like panic. I mean, it's like, Sometimes I'll come in. I'll step in the door, everything is getting picked up as they. I'm so sorry. I didn't remember. Then how are you doing? And if I'd known you were coming. Well, he's coming. When? When he comes, not gonna be time to pick up. Not gonna be any time to clean up. When he comes, if I'd known you were coming. Nope. I think one of the reasons why Jesus has never revealed when the exact time of the appearing of his son Jesus Christ will be. It's for this very reason right here. God wants a clean people. God wants a pure people. And God expects us to keep our hearts, our minds, our desires, our motives ready for the appearing of Jesus Christ, which could happen at any moment. Keep your life picked up. Keep the mess cleaned up. Keep a short account with God. Don't let that thing get all out of order and out of chaos. Hey, friend, it's more than just lip service. If you really would love to win the crown of righteousness, it's life service. It's life service. Now, listen, when I stop and see people like that, I think nothing of it. I grew up in a house. We had six kids. But, brother, there'll be no time to pick up. I need to make my life a pattern of cleanliness and holiness. And people, I'm not preaching anything you don't realize this morning. You know that this old world is marked by sin. It's overwhelmed by sin. And sin has a strong appeal to the child of God. Strong appeal. This world's inundated by sin. You know, I gave some thought this week to Demas. Remember Demas? He's mentioned three times in the New Testament. He's mentioned in the book of Colossians. He's mentioned in the book of Philemon, and he's mentioned in the book of 2 Timothy, this book. In fact, go back to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and look at verse number 10. There it is, verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So there's Demas. Now, he's mentioned in Colossians. He's mentioned in Philemon. How many of you have a Bible that has a date at the top of the page there? How many of you have a Bible like that? What do you have at the top of your page there? AD 66? That's what I have in mind. Now, we won't do it, but listen very carefully. If you turn to the book of Colossians, it was written in AD 64. AD 64. And in Colossians, Paul said, Demas is with me, my fellow servant, my fellow helper, Demas. That was AD 64. If you turn to the book of Philemon, Paul mentions Philemon. Philemon was written in AD 64. In fact, watch it. Philemon lived in the city of Colossae, and some people believe that the church at Colossae started in his house. His house. So in AD 64, Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and he wrote to an individual by the name of Philemon, and he praised Demas. He complimented Demas. He said, man, he's my fellow helper, my fellow servant. In AD 66, 2 years, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Folks, last Sunday was my 24th. As far as Sunday goes, last Sunday was my 24th anniversary here at Faith Baptist Church. We've had people come and go. You know that for years and years, and some have stayed and some have moved away, like the Swanson and others. But you understand, if you've been here for any length of time, we have seen some people who walked with us, fellowshiped with us, who are no longer serving. Gone because of worldliness. Gone because of worldliness. I'm not mad, I'm not angry, that's just a statement of fact. You know what the name Demas means? Popular. What the name means? You can go to any Bible study book that's a definition of biblical names, look it up, his name means popular. Now listen to me very carefully. I am not for making ourselves a nut on purpose, but friend, if you think that you're going to be popular with and in this world and live for Jesus and love Jesus Christ, you're going to have to think again. That's one reason We are seeing such worldly Christianity today, people striving to maintain a popular relationship with the world and yet worship Christ. We want a Christianity that does not offend the world, does not rub the world the wrong way, that attracts the world. And you can't have it both ways. You and I have a message that the world needs to hear. And we are responsible to adorn that message with behavior that is Christ-like. But to seek the approval and the commendation of the world and to live for Jesus, you'll be unable to do. Won't happen. You can't. And watch it. If you get so close to the world trying to win the world's approval and the world's commendation, you're no match for the world. The world will swallow you up. And that's what's happening in our Christian circles today. Those whose lives say, I can't wait till Jesus comes, popularity with the world will not be a priority. Do you realize James 4:4 says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's strong language. You can't hold hands with the world and hold hands with God at the same time. I am positive that the vast majority of people in this church were sickened this week when our president swapped a deserter who is Muslim now for the five key guys in Guantanamo Bay. I'm sure you were appalled at that, because you're not going to be a patriotic American and hold hands with Islam, Christian haters. But somehow we don't apply that same reasoning to the world. The Bible says that the world, whoever is the friend of the world, is an enemy of God. And so that reads that you and I have to choose between friendship with the world and friendship with God. We have to choose between that. Fellas, stand up for just a minute. I'm going to use an illustration, but I'm going to adapt it a little bit. Mike, if you'll stand over here. If we let Luke be Jesus Christ over here this morning, poor choice, but we'll let him be that, okay? And so he's Jesus Christ. Now look, Christ, one of the attributes of Christ, because Christ is God, is he's unchanging. He cannot change. There's no shadow of turning with him. Okay? So here I am, I'm a child of God, and this is the world. Come over here, Brother Bragg, if you would. You know, it is impossible. As a child of God, I am pulled between the two. Don't say you're not. We all are. We're pulled between worldliness and Christ-likeness. And there's this raging war in our bodies. The flesh is pulling us this way, and the spirit is pulling us this way. And there's that battle that the Bible talks about in the book of Galatians, that war, that enmity between the two, the flesh trying to make me more and more like the world and the spirit trying to make me more and more like Jesus. And you know that Christ is unchanging, the world is digressing. The world passes away. The world waxes worse and worse. That's Scripture. So the world is digressing. Now, Jesus is not changing. The world is digressing. Just to my left, I should have probably reversed it for you, but pretend this is your left. So he's going further and further into wrong. Now, as a child of God, we're not static. There's no way you and I have a fixed position. We'll never move. We are influenced, and we are moved, and we are changed. And we're either changed by our flesh and sometimes satanic temptation to be more and more like the world, or sometimes we're moved and influenced by the Spirit to be more and more like the Spirit. But you and I are not static. And people, if all I'm going to do is find a place of, watch this, if all I'm going to do, hold your hand up, Brother Mike, if all I'm going to do is find a place of separation from the world, right? I'm separated from the world right here. But the world's not static. Neither am I. So the world moves. And if all I do is maintain a place of separation from the world, look at where I am, folks. Stay right put. This is happening before our eyes. Do you know people who came here years ago with little children? I'm not talking about people who get saved and join the church or come to the church because they get saved. I'm talking about people who chose this church because with little children, because, man, you believe and you practice and you're separated. You know, those folks have teenagers now, sometimes gripe at me. Yeah. We got the same position we've always had. That same position. I'm going to tell you who changes families. Children change families. Children change their fathers. Children change their mothers. Moms and dads, you better be careful of that. Can't be changed by your kids. God gave the kids for you to rear, not for them to rear you. Some of you, the way you're living today, you would not choose this church. Wouldn't be your first choice. Some come here because there's, quote unquote, no other place to go. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm as serious as a heart attack about this. If you haven't, and for all of our members, if you haven't noticed that there's been kind of a drought around here, you know what causes drought? Sin does. Sin causes drought. And when members start getting right, and brother, we start getting excited about what we are as God's children and not being concerned about being popular with the world, living to please Him, living so that we can obtain a crown of righteousness at His appearing, not worried about what the world says. If we get back to that, we'll see God open the windows of heavens and heaven start moving in our services. Sin chokes out the working of the power of God. Sin chokes it out. And I've been asking God to take the lid off and expose it. God answered my prayer in some ways this week. There may be more to come. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can't give lip service to loving the return of Jesus Christ and expect to win a crown. It's not lip service, it's life service. It's holy, it's clean, it's pure, it's righteous. That's what God expects. That's what God blesses. That's what God's looking for. That's what God wants. God doesn't want a people who are just separated from the world. He wants a people who are separated to Jesus Christ. And that's what we're missing. We've gauged our Christianity by how we're separated from the world, but we're not concerned about being separated unto Jesus. Is my music, is my television, is my computer, is my habits, my... You see, you preached on this not too long ago. You're right. On common ground. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's common ground with God. We need a revival. By the way, thank you, fellas. By the way, I preached that in a church somewhere else. It went over like lead doors on a submarine. Screen doors on a submarine. Went over like a lead balloon. There it is. Screen doors on a submarine. I'm telling you, there wasn't a peep. The pastor got up. He said not one word. To publicly or privately. I made a statement. We need a revival of holiness. You know who came to me after the service? The old people. And a dear old lady took my hand and she said, that's what we need to hear. Some of you don't take me seriously. 45 years doesn't mandate that God shows up in this place. God shows up when there's a group of people who are hungry for Him and who want to please Him. And their lives are fashioned and modeled so that they say more with their life than with their lips, Jesus, I can't wait for you to come. I can't wait for you to come. We got choice, folks. We can continue to morph with the world. Ask these young people. Sitting in services where people are eating candy bars and drinking monster drinks in church. Baptist church. It's a party. Hey, dress like you want to, and the rock band will play, and here comes the bring your monster drinks and your sandwiches, and let's just dip. But I'm having to worship in spirit and in truth. Whatever happened to holiness? Whatever happened to the power of God? See, when the holiness kind of went away, the power of God goes with it. We need a cleansing. We need a washing. We need a revival of holiness. We need a revival of more than just lip service, where it affects our lives, where we get convicted about our bitterness and confess it. We get convicted about our gossip and stop it. Stop it. Where we get convicted about jealousy, some of these inward things that are just as destructive as the outward things. And clean it up. Cleanse yourselves. Cleanse yourselves. Purify himself. It's you and me, friend. It's up to us. We've got to get holy. We've got to get where we're pleasing to God in a righteous lifestyle that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and wins us a crown of righteousness. You know, I have two more points. I'm out of time. Out of time. But I'll promise you, every saint of God in this room this morning has a witness, if you're saved in your heart, that what I'm saying is right this morning, because it's based on what this book teaches. We got a choice to make, church. We can just go on in decline with the world, or we can say, you know what? Our Savior's coming. And because I don't know when he's coming, I'm not going to have time to pick up and clean up when he gets here. So I think I'll start this morning. Get it all cleaned up. You know, the horse lost out on the triple crown. He fell short. I don't want to fall short of the crown of righteousness. Because loving is more than lip service. Life service. Life service. A life that says, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, would you please help our church? We so need you to move in our services. We so need you to move in our homes, our marriages. We so need you to move in our families, in the lives of our young people. All the breath of God is such a delicate thing, such a needful and necessary thing. The touch of God, the power of God. Lord, you won't dwell amongst an unclean people. Oh, help us this morning, please. Help us. May our hearts burn for holiness. May our hearts burn for righteousness. Please, oh God. Please. Work in our hearts today. Make us right. Make us long to be right. Lord, not just I have to, but this is what I want to do. I want to be clean. I want to be right. May the Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and lives this morning. Change us, oh God, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I mean, we would say, Pastor, I listened this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to me in some way. A still small voice came to my heart while you were preaching. Pray for me. I want to raise my hand and acknowledge that this morning. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. Take your hands down. I asked this question, how many are saved? And you know it. If you died right now, you're on your way to heaven. When you slip your hand in the air, you're saved and you know it. Thank you. If you are not saved, could I pray for you this morning? If you don't know that you're saved, could I pray for you? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room, let me just pray for you. Not by name, just ask God to speak to your heart. Front to back, side to side, upstairs. Anybody like that this morning? Pray for me. All right. Is there anybody here today that needs to be baptized? You have been saved, but you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And you know you need to do that to please the Lord. Anybody like that? God bless you. If you're ready now, we have folks to help you this morning. You come. And I'll follow the Lord in believers' baptism while we wait in Scotland if you come help us this morning. That's wonderful. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're saved, baptized, you know this is the place where God wants you to join, be a member. You've talked to one of us about it. The altar is open for you this morning as well. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, I so want you to work in our lives, individually and corporately as a church. And God, please, we need your presence. We need your Spirit. Oh, God, we need it. Would you please come and help us today? Would you please come and get way deep down in our hearts? And Lord, help us to, as Brother Green said, pull out that sin by its roots. Get rid of it. Get ourselves cleansed and washed. Lord, help us today. Speak to anybody who's unsaved. Speak to these Lord, who might need to be baptized or join the church, but may Your will be done this morning, I pray, in our midst, as we begin to seek You in this way. Help us, Lord, today in Christ's name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're playing a song of invitation. It's time to come. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Oh, God, help us. It's more than lip service. It's life service. It's life service. That's what it is. It's a life that says, I'm looking forward to His coming. It's a life that says, I can't wait to see Him. It's a life that says it. Help us, Lord.